Without any further ado, what I'd like to do is welcome up Roberto Salem, who is the representative from Fidel, which is our partner that does digital rights, image clearance. So come on up, Fidel.
Thank you, Toby.
Or Roberto, I should say.
Thank you. Right,
thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Neat.
Okay, awesome.
We're going to dance for a minute.
There you go. Hey.
Hi. How's everyone doing?
Thanks, first of all, for the opportunity to be speaking today. I do a bit of housekeeping over here first. This is our first time here at the Extensis event, so it's been a really good opportunity and a learning experience to learn a bit from the community, especially on the font management side in the first part of the day. Very good comments and questions throughout the session, so thanks for that. My name is Roberto Salem, and I'm a rights management solution specialist with Fidel. Fidel is a software provider of rights management software technology. So we have been, I wanted to start with actually this slide because I really thought that it would resonate with you because it really touches on the work that has to happen behind the scenes when we're putting content together and distributing it to different distribution channels. Particularly in terms of the different components that have to come together to make up the final asset or the final product that we end up submitting at the end of the day. So, you know, we spoke today obviously a lot about font being one of these elements. Sometimes there's talent, like talent that comes from video footage that is used in a TVC, for example. Talent used in voiceover, rights coming from a music license. Rights coming, for example, here where you see a picture of a celebrity, of Adele, in the background, so that probably needs special permissions that need to be cleared, etc. So the complexity of putting together all of these elements to come up with the final product comes in the context of a digital transformation where there really is a need to go to market faster and faster with new products and new campaigns to get them out there. So I'm sure that many of you may have been in a situation where you're about to ship a piece of content or a product to a destination, and you may be running around between the different stakeholders and organizations, a legal team perhaps, to make sure that you have all the necessary green lights before you push the content out there and you press the final button. So obviously, not having access to the information that you need, and I think that we definitely heard that earlier in the session, at the right time, at the right place, without need for spending a lot of time interpreting what the legal information means, it's definitely something that is needed to empower creative services and creative teams to come up with content faster and to get it to market. At the same time, we're seeing organizations more and more working with outside talent, outsourcing talent to be featured in their content. So talent can be tricky and very nuanced across different contracts, especially if you're dealing, for example, with celebrities. So it's also definitely a challenge that we're seeing where companies really need to find a way to better get a handle of the many talent agreements that they're managing underneath their umbrella of creative services that they're doing. And being able to tie these talent agreements with the content that correspond to it as well is obviously something that can be quite cumbersome. And so all this is happening, you know, and creating a risk for many organizations, and I think that we spoke, you know, a lot about that earlier today. This is where it becomes, as an organization, it becomes very important to try to set an equilibrium or try to find a solution where we are mitigating our risk and at the same time we're not compromising the quality of our products or our timelines, for our internal objectives or for our client objectives in our business. So I thought it was very important to identify what are the specific things that are causing this phenomena today, these bottlenecks that we're seeing in different creative processes across different industries, specifically, especially, for example, in the advertising industry. So first of all, and you know, we all spoke, and Toby spoke about people and processes, and I think that fundamentally, organizations are designed and structured to separate creative services from business affairs and legal services, for all the right reasons, of course, right? Because they really are performing two very different functions in an organization. And so as part of that, there's also an informational disconnect between these two worlds, these two sets of teams or people, and these processes, these workflows. So if we were to look at the systems that creative people or production people are interfacing with, such as Extensis Portfolio, for example, on the digital asset management side, you know, we're seeing users going into a centralized library to pick the content that they want to use, to package it up in a new way, to create a new piece of content, a new product. On the other side, on the contracts or legal side, we're seeing systems such as Word documents, Excel files, file cabinets, sometimes something as simple as that. Sometimes extensive contract management systems, although, to be honest, we're not seeing that too much. And contract management systems are not very rights-oriented to support these kind of like workflows around rights management. And so it becomes difficult for, and I think that many of you voiced this earlier today, it becomes difficult for the creative and the production teams to get their questions answered on time, or to be able to get a straightforward answer as to what they can do or what they cannot do with a piece of content. And so finding a way to connecting the information that is flowing between these two sets of people and these two sets of problems is definitely something that will take us a step further to solving that problem that we were identifying. And then third, licensing in general is becoming more and more complex and granular. I think earlier today somebody mentioned as well that font designers with the in the context of the digital transformation, they are keen on maximizing the profit that they make on the work that they do, which makes a lot of sense. And obviously that applies across a whole set of types of licensing that you may do, whether it's music, whether it's talent, whether it's stock agencies, etc. So finding, being able as an organization to have some sort of structure or infrastructure that can capture and record the terms of these licenses that you're doing across these different types of agreements that you're doing, be it very complex or granular agreements, and be it very simple agreements, because sometimes some license agreements are just, you know, it can be just a simple purchase order with just a couple of territorial and time frame dimensions. So when you're taking these contracts and finding a way to storing them on your side so that when somebody asks you a question, you can give them an answer, it becomes important to find a structure that is able to accommodate for all of these terms, be it simple or complex licensing. And then, of course, this is happening in a world where budgets are constantly shrinking, timelines are shrinking, client expectations are rising. So any opportunity to find ways to introduce efficiencies into the processes and to introduce optimizations of costs is definitely something that is absolutely very important to a large number of organizations out there. And again, all this is happening within the context of the digital transformation. So we're seeing new types of emerging digital formats emerge every day, new types of digital channels that emerge. So when the way that we are consuming content is changing and the way that we are managing and distributing and packaging content is changing, it becomes very important to be agile enough and fast enough to react to these disruptions in the industry to be able to get content out there and without compromising the organization from a risk perspective. So we wanted to come up with at least a set of action items that you can take today as organizations to alleviate some of these pain points that we're identifying today. And so one of them is we strongly encourage organizations to, if you don't have it already, to introduce and enforce a rights clearance process within your content lifecycle. And in fact, it's important, if possible, to introduce several write checks at several stages of the creative process. At the pre-production stage, when we have a creative team going into a digital asset management system, for instance, to pick the different elements that they would like to potentially use in a piece of work, to be able to have early visibility into the rights are available so that one can identify the assets that he may want to take out of his selection because maybe their rights are too expensive or too complicated to acquire, or to put in at this early stage of the process a request into the legal or business affairs folks who are in charge of licensing to extend those rights according to the intended use of the content, etc. So another thing that you can do as an organization is to make sure that every time you license something, you license it globally, internationally, in all languages, for perpetuity, but obviously, and across all media channels. But obviously, that's not a solution that works for all organizations because that costs a lot of money. So we spoke earlier today about standardizations and about how difficult it is to standardize license agreements. And it really is, right? Especially, for example, in the talent world, because each talent may have different nuances. So we've seen some of our clients that tried at the beginning to standardize, for example, their talent agreement, but it didn't work because they're working across different agencies of talent, different, you know, sometimes celebrities. You know, they have different. They organize their and class the talent that they work with in different ways, and it's hard to find a one size fits all. And plus, you're doing different types of licensing. You're doing talent. You're doing music licensing. You're doing stock, etc., etc. So what we think that you can do to alleviate that pain point and to solve that problem early on is to at least standardize your internal nomenclature of how you are defining the rights that you are acquiring. So, and how you categorize them. And what I mean to say by that is that there's probably a very unique way that you as a business organize and break down the rights of the content that you license in. You have probably your own way of breaking down your territories that applies to you. You have probably your own way of breaking down your distribution channels and the subcategories of these different distribution channels. So we think that it's definitely a very useful exercise to start making up this model around your rights and to standardize the way you're defining them, regardless of how actually the contract reads it. But when you're recording it on for your record, make sure that it falls into a standardized set of definitions. We think that it really helps in the long term. And third, and I think that a lot of people in the information management and digital asset management industry will, you know, obviously will agree with me that as much as you can, if you can assign unique identifiers to the different components that make up your workflow, this is definitely something that will end up paying off in the future. If you're using Extensis Portfolio, you probably have asset IDs assigned to your assets. If you have contracts, definitely try to enforce or encourage your counterparts on the legal or business affairs side to assign contract IDs, unique identifiers to your contracts, unique identifiers to the projects that you're undertaking. Try to group them together if that's possible and not too cumbersome. Because the day, even if you don't have a system where things are automated and you know your information is still somehow separate across different systems and different sets of teams, in the future, it will help a lot to connect these dots if you have these unique identifiers in place. So what have we done to try to solve this problem? Fadel has been in the rights management space for about 15 years now. So if you were to look from a vendor perspective at the vendors out there for rights management, you'll find very industry-specific solutions that manage licensing flows, rights, royalties, etc. But what you won't find specifically in the advertising industry is really a solution that is meant for these legal and business affairs folks to keep track of these different agreements that they're doing throughout the content lifecycle. And most importantly, a way to provide this information on an on-demand basis and in real time to the people that need it without having to interrupt the people and the workflows and spend a lot of time going through contracts, interpreting, formulating, and answers
only to be asked the same question again by a different person, perhaps, right? So one, giving these legal and business affairs folks a place to store that information and to manage these records of the rights to the contracts that they're managing. Two, giving the visibility to the people who need it to this information on an on-demand basis in an intuitive fashion without having to expose sensitive information that legal may not want to expose for their own reasons. And three, as well, by connecting these dots together, obviously we're also exposing this information and allowing organizations to analyze the data, and that can result into better decisions in the future into how you're doing your licensing in the first place and how you're negotiating your terms based on your usage and whatnot. So what we're very excited about today is this partnership that we recently formed with Extensis, and this integration that we built into the Extensis portfolio platform to specifically give Extensis portfolio end users this real-time visibility on demand to the rights of the content that they have. So we worked with Extensis and we developed a connector, or you can think of it more of a, like a plugin on the Extensis platform that allows end users to make that rights check and get an answer in real time. This is a bit of how it looks like. I'm going to actually give a quick demonstration of that very shortly. But obviously here, the idea is to give the end users the ability to validate these assets and to avoid improper usage and to go fast, to market faster with these campaigns and all these aspects that we were talking about early in the presentation. So without further ado, I'll perform a quick demonstration here. Let's see. Sorry? Okay, yeah, got it, saw it. Thanks. Okay, so let me just... Okay, so here I am in the Extensis portfolio environment. So let's say, I'm gonna play the role here of a member of the creative team, and let's say that I am looking for lifestyle images. We're here within a collection with Steve Weston for a photo shoot that we recently did. So I'm looking for lifestyle types of images. Okay, let's say that I like those surfer images as well as this dancer picture over here. And essentially, all I'm going to do is just right-click on the selection of images that I've just selected. And I'm going to invoke the request rights clearance function here, which is basically the result of the plugin that we installed off of our two systems. And I'm going to have the ability to ask my question. And I'm going to specify the intended use for that content. So let's say that we wanted to use it for digital in all of North America, right? And again, you will see when I was talking about the rights model early on and about these definitions, those are the definitions that are set up, for example, in this demonstration environment. So those will be very unique for each one of you in terms of how they break down from digital to print to the territories, for example. You may not want to define North America. You may just have, Americas or, whatever. So let's say that... actually, I want to run the campaign starting tomorrow, and this is not my computer, so I'm let me try to put the date manually here. I don't know why I don't see the calendar over here. Okay, and let's see that we were going to run it between the 3rd of May and the 2nd of March and the 7th of May. Okay, and I'm going to request the clearance. And in real time, I'm going to get answers on these sets of assets. So you see that most of them are available, so that's good. For the use that I've specified. We'll see that the picture here with the Alicia Walker, the dancer, is not available, so maybe I want to take it out of the selection. or maybe I can, if I'm keen on using it, I can ask my legal team to request the rights for it.
This one here for with Mickey Skidmore is yellow. It's available with exceptions. So if I wanted to drill down a little bit more, I will see that we have the rights for North America across these digital channels except mobile, tablet, and display ads. So now, I wanted to as well show you briefly what is going on the other side of the coin, on the Fadel side, and you know, supposedly from the perspective of somebody managing this information from a contract and rights perspective. So just allow me 1 second to log in over here.
So I log in to the Fadel Arc system, and I'm on Firefox.
Okay, looks like we're having some problems here.
Sorry, excuse me. So we've logged into the system, and you know, we're on the home page. We can get some. This is a dashboard where we can get some basic analytics on the activity that is going on from a clearance perspective and the assets that have been entered into the system. But for the sake of the context of the discussion today, I'm going to actually look at one of the images that I was just looking up on the Extensa site, right, to see how we're managing the rights information for that image.
So I believe I was looking at this image over here of Mickey Skidmore, Pearl Surfer.
So I'm going to enter the asset record for that asset. And what I'm going to see in this header section over here is essentially information that we're mirroring from Extensa's portfolio, key information to be able to tie the pieces together. So we have a thumbnail of the actual asset that is coming from portfolio. We have the name of the asset, description. We can include any relevant metadata that we may want to have over here available on this system if we wanted to. But the key information is the external ID that is also coming from portfolio to be able to tie the two together and be able to run the query on the rights for that specific asset. And what we have over here is something called a rights profile, which is essentially the sets of rights that are coming from each contract that this digital asset is tied to. So here we have the photographer contract with Steve Weston, the 2017 photo shoot, and we have the Skidmore contract. So as a result of that, that asset has inherited the rights across of these two contracts, and that's why when I requested a clearance from the Extensa side, because the, at least one of the contracts didn't have tablet rights and and I forgot the other attribute that wasn't available, display ads. That's why, you know, we got a yellow result with available with extensions, exceptions.
So I can scroll down here, and if I want to look at the rights just very quickly here, so this is where we're storing the rights information. So if we were to look at the channels, you would see, that when I was referring to early on about the rights model and the importance of standardizing at least the definitions of how you're breaking down and you're defining those rights, in our system, the way we've set it up is to give the end user the ability to create this model specific to the way the way it applies to your organization, and the ability, obviously, to change that over time. So in this case, we've broken down our channels in these categories, and you can see here that, for example, digital is broken down to different subcategories.
And that's, in this case, we don't have display and mobile tablet rights for that contract and therefore that asset. So if we were to renegotiate those rights and make an amendment to the contract, then all I would need to do is to check these two boxes, and all the assets that fall under that contract will get impacted right away.
So in a nutshell, this is what I was planning on just showing concisely here from a demo perspective. And essentially, so what we're trying to accomplish in bringing that technology to market, partnering with Extensis, putting that those functions at the fingertips of users, be it on the creative side or on the legal side, is to enable organizations to, first of all, keep their time to market fast and never compromise deadlines. Two, increase the reuse of content, increase the return on investment on the assets that are being either purchased, produced, or licensed. Three, give visibility into the business for smarter licensing decisions. Obviously, minimizing the compliance risk and never putting a brand or an organization at risk. And most importantly, and again, tying back to the digital transformation, tying back to the importance of standardizing these rights definitions, putting them in a model that can evolve and that can extend as your business changes, as the industry changes, is something that will future-proof your content strategy. Because when there's going to be a disruption in the marketplace, Snapchat now allows you to advertise, what can I push to Snapchat? Microsoft has now released HoloLens, what content can I push in the form of augmented reality? Being able to, in an agile manner, figure out what you have in your inventory available for these new innovations on how to get there as fast as possible is the type of infrastructure that you will need to be able to future-proof your content strategy. So with that, thank you very much, and I would love to hear your feedback and get some questions.
Hi. Okay. I apologize. You can't ever have a day where your boss isn't harassing you by email. So I missed the beginning of where did you get those assets? Like, because if we're searching the internet and we find an image, is that how you import it into Portfolio? Like, where did those images come from? I missed that part.
Okay. So those assets are in Portfolio in the first place. So they're already ingested in Portfolio.
And where do they? And do you? You say search all these different sites. Is that how you just put up lifestyle and then all these images pop up? Because we...
Okay.
Yeah. I'll grab hold of this one because I think you're venturing into Portfolio side of the world.
Absolutely. And
thank you again, Roberto.
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, for sure. Thank you.
The means... Oh, stay up here. We're not done with you yet. Nice try, though.
No.
The means by which the assets come into a digital asset system like that is really... It depends. You know, it's going to be everything from... going back through filing cabinets, bringing out things, legal requirements, those are just documents stuck somewhere. You've got network drives, you've got SANs, you've got RAIDs, you've got stuff in the cloud, on-prem. So ultimately, the answer to your question is virtually anywhere, and it gets in by any number of means. So what we were showing in the catalog that you saw within Portfolio is just a list of ingested assets. So those were probably imported. Somebody had a drive and we just imported them. Yeah. The important thing about that, though, is really the process from the beginning. And that's making sure that the unique asset ID that Roberto pointed out there is unique to that asset. It's like SKUs and things like that. That's going to be the entirety of the workflow that's going to be dependent on that. So making sure that it's coming in, that we're stubbing out a proper GUID for that, that's the important thing. So it's a hard answer. It's a long answer. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly malleable answer. It's like nailing Jell-O to a wall, right? It's a little bit difficult to do, but once you figure out where the assets are coming from, the actual ingesting of those is really any number of ways.
Absolutely.
And that's cool. I mean, if you're looking for an image, and you're looking, really, you have your browser, Yeah.
Well,
that's what I'm asking.
With your permission, Toby, in this specific case here, the images actually came from a photo shoot, right, in the story that we were demonstrating today. So we did a photo shoot with a photographer called Steve Weston. They're not from the internet in this case, right? So we have the images, we have the photographer contract that applies to these images. We have the various models and the talent that we used. We've ingested those in Extensis portfolio, and that's why we're able to run this process on them. I think that what you're referring to is more of like if you go out there in the wild, on the web, and you before you ingest anything to portfolio, before you even know what the rights are or anything, and you look at an image and you want to use it, then obviously you would have to, you know, this is a bit like of the, you know, the step a little bit before, right?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this is like a current thing that you have all these rights, that you have an agreement with somebody already, and you want to use it, and you say, oh, I need it for this, and then I
exactly.
need that.
Yeah, so essentially what you're doing here is to try to maximize the utility of the assets that you already have in your possession. No, for sure, no problem.
No problem.
Thank you.
We have another
question.
Do you have anything in terms of like a notification system? So if I want to be notified that an asset is going to have its usage rights expire in 1 month, can
Absolutely.
I be like emailed or how does that work? And when it does expire, do you have any sort of like banner or something that lets someone using the DAM know that the usage rights has expired, like in a thumbnail?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And we get that asked all the time, of course. We do have the capability of tracking these expirations and pushing them to the various systems that need it. Now, specifically how we set this up for you will really depend on your environment, because we try to, as much as possible, leverage existing technology out there. For example, if you're using a workflow tool like Workfront, I think I saw it on the slides earlier, or something like that, then we may want to leverage that to push those informations. So the short answer to your question is yes. The more detailed answer to your question is maybe we need to have a chat to learn a little bit more of how things are set up on your side to see how that would apply to you. But absolutely, the takedowns and expirations is a huge part of what we're trying to accomplish over here to simplify that problem. So, thanks.
I think we had another one over here. Oh, here we go.
Does your system have a way, I'm assuming it does, have a way of actually uploading the original licensing agreement and contract from a particular photographer or stock house?
Absolutely, yeah. The actual file, the long form contract, yeah, you can attach that to the record of the contract, absolutely. Good question.
So when you start to integrate, like say we already have a whole group of images, like hundreds of images, mm-hmm. and we want to go into the system, who or how do you add in the channels and the territory fields and all of that? Like, is there someone from your group that would come over and work with us to do that? Or would we need to have a in-house person manually adding in this data?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. This is an implementation question. So the short answer to that, basically, the first step that we're going to do is first to sit with you mm-hmm. and to look at the agreements that you have and to see, analyze together how you are defining those rights and how you're breaking them down and structuring them. So then we're going to form the model of how you're doing your rights into our system. Then we're going to start getting the contract information in and on a contract basis to tie that to the model the way the terms of that contract specifically apply. Then we're tying the contract to the many assets that are tied to it so that it can inherit those rights automatically without having to do it on an asset per asset basis. Does that answer the question, or does that make sense?
No. And then as we add in more images in the future from other photo shoots, that would just be like something that we would have to keep track of in-house, and then as we're adding them in, we would have to add that information
to
them.
Yeah, great question. So you remember we were talking about, you know, the best practice of assigning unique identifiers. So mm-hmm. if you have a unique identifier for your different contracts, and if you're tagging your assets in the metadata with those unique identifiers for the contracts, then we can automatically tie these dots
okay.
together. The other alternative that some other people do it is that at the ingest process, they basically select the assets and tie them to the rights profile that corresponds to it, so that it can inherit those rights. So it's either, you know, it can easily be just a part of the ingest process when you're doing your metadata enrichment and your ingest in the DAM in the first place. Just a question of tying the contract to the asset.
Okay, and then I have one more question.
No, of course.
So the images that are on there, are they read-only or are they live images? Can other people in our company download them or access them?
So ultimately, the people who are accessing and downloading the images, they're probably going to be doing it on Extensis portfolio.
The portfolio, right? Okay.
What we're doing is just storing a thumbnail of this asset to give the, let's say that the main user of our system from an administration perspective is a legal person. We want to give a visual reference, but we don't want to actually duplicate the information and store the actual image, because then we would be, right, duplicating information and, you know, so,
okay.
Yeah, it will be mirrored from your DAM.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, great questions.
All right. Just to re-clarify, with the asset, when you have a model release that goes, let's say the photographer you commissioned to shoot, but not every model is in every photograph. So each particular image would have to be tied to a unique series of photo releases. Let's say there's three people in the photo. So would the only way to do that would be to create a unique identifier for each model release that is tied to the photograph, or can it be directly put into the metadata of the image so that you just, I mean, our client is always wants, you always want to make sure there's a photo release for
absolutely
a picture. And absolutely. How would that work?
Okay, let me make sure I understand your question correctly. So. Is there a unique identifier assigned to the contract already?
I am asking you how it has to be set up.
Okay.
I'm saying, is that the only way that it can be done, or can the releases be directly connected to the photograph?
No, obviously, no, of course they can. I think that it really is, because, you know, this is a new way of tackling this process, because it's been done very manually in the past.
Yes.
So there's no, again, there's also no one-size-fits-all. And that's why, you know, there's definitely several ways of accommodating that, but it's just a matter of seeing what data is available in the first place and how to best utilize this to connect the dots. But the short answer is that, I mean, if this information is available on both ends, we can automatically connect it.
So it's like a relational database type of...
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and when you say unique identifier, mm-hmm. obviously an image has an image number, that's a unique.
Yes.
But on a release, would that be like a serial number? So not somebody's name is not a unique identifier.
Yeah, no. So there are organizations that have or come up with their own unique identifiers for their contract. So it can be just a unique identifier that they generate from a system, a random number. It can be the initials of the talent, the date of the contract, or the photo shoot, something like that. We also actually, when you're creating a rights profile in our system, we're creating a unique identifier as well that ultimately, you know, is what our system is going to tie to, right? So it really depends on how the organization is set up and how the current processes are performed and how to, make the configuration to accommodate that.
That process is done not in portfolio, but in your plugin for portfolio.
Yes, it is done. Yes, it's in conjunction, right? Because you're doing the ingest, so it's that connection point between the two systems where you're connecting the dots, right? So that at the end of the day, ultimately, the end users of portfolio can get their answers right away in real time.
I mean, that ultimately also gets back to the question of distribution and where's, you know, what is the system of record in this case? And, you know, from our perspective, unsurprisingly, we would say it's going to be portfolio. But that's because we're managing a lot of the different aspects to it as opposed to the rights clearance. So they're the experts in the rights clearance. We're really more the experts in the cataloging and the processing of the images and storing a lot of the metadata, because what we're talking about really is metadata moving back and forth. And we're going to talk about that with Clarify. It's really about metadata as a workflow. The metadata that we're pulling in from Fidel is very specific metadata to just the workflow that comes around rights clearance. So we're going to have a lot more workflow that's going to be in there, and that's why it's a unique identifier. When you ingest, you control what it is. It tells us what we can send out to people, how we can distribute it to the earlier question. That's all really controlled from within the DAM system. I think we had one more question that was, do we have another one? Nope. All right.
Thanks so much.
Well,
Great questions.
With that, I'll say, you know, certainly thank you to Roberto, and there's a whole slew of people from Fidel. They're not going to be running out of here anytime soon. They'll be around to answer some questions, certainly, because this is an increasingly complex workflow that we're talking about. And so certainly I would encourage you to grab them, or there's Edward or Tarek or Devi, and Alana's here as well. So a lot of people from Fidel to ask questions of and get the answers that you're craving, because this is a new area. It's, again, one of the emerging parts of the creative workflow that's changing around. So we certainly thank them for their participation, thank them for the partnership, and I think it's going to be a great improvement. It should help us all protect our assets, which ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what we're here for.